Hello, everybody, and welcome to this next episode of the Toros Pad Coast. I think I'm going to say this is the fifth episode in canon, or sixth, I don't know what it is, but we're just going to call this episode five. We'll call this the episode before S39 begins. I don't know if we'll get to one next week or not, but if so, this will be our off-season edition. So S38, S39 off-season. I am your host, as always, Leatherneck Mike, the co-GM of the Toros. And joining me this week are a familiar, returning, and one not so familiar, in fact, brand new to this podcast and the team. But first, let's go through the Toros News Minute. The big news of, well, since we last done this show, is, of course, the draft. The Toros brought in several players, seven in total if you count the inactives, that we just kind of happened to draft. The main people of concern that we drafted with the first overall pick, we took Skumina Hulkovato, that is Bauer, a longtime steward of the team and a longtime Hall of Famer. He is Hall of Fame on his first player, and this is now his third. The other person we drafted, we made a huge trade with Death Valley, sent two first their way, they sent two first our way, and we picked up Ryan Noss. Ryan Nock, I should say. Noss Base is his name, and he will be here in just a moment. So that was in the first round. We had picked at 1 and picked at 5. Then in the second round, we picked at number 18. It was the first pick of the second round due to a compensation pick going the way of Providence. We got an opening death. Nova Montang is very surprised we got OD that low in the draft. I mean, top of the second round, but still, you know, OD, a top five quality earner. We got Ryan Eggs in RP, absolutely perfect position for him, perfect kind of earner, just what we need to shore up that bullpen. That was at 20, technically 19th if you discount the comp picks. Also should mention we had 14 and 15 at one point in the draft. I skipped over that a little bit. We traded out 14 for a New York first. We traded 15 down. That's how we got 19, which is the pick that turned into Ryan Neggs. And we got some cap space for later. In the second round, we wound up trading number 49 overall to Outer Banks for Rockstar, who played for me and Twitchy in Kansas City. Or no, played for me and Enoch at Kansas City, I should say. And we sent 49 overall, which was the fourth round, our fourth rounder this year for him. Nigel Ortega is his player, and he will join us for this season. Top of the third round, we take Drew McIntyre. That is Kenny to Manara. Manara, another pitcher to add to the bullpen long term. And then, purely for the War Room fun, we took Sarah Posting at number 58. Wants to be down to the minors all five seasons, but it's another brain for our brain-heavy War Room, and I was more than happy to bring in a good friend. That is the Toros news. Well, that was more like 3 minutes, not 1 minute. And now, speaking of friends that I'm happy to bring in, I am pleasured, as always, to welcome in the Crash, the crude, but also lovely, and this week, nearly no-voiced, Matt Stroh. How are you, friend?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right, except my voice. I'm doing pretty good.
No, that is not a man with horrible laryngitis. It's just Matt Stroh. And also joining him, who we will, you know, of course, be light on today, even if he says he's raring to go. You know, sometimes you got to protect the players from themselves. So picking up a big part in this podcast today on his debut, not his podcast debut, just Toros debut. It is Nosface Ryan Nock. Welcome to the Bigs and welcome to the Toros. How are you?
Good, good. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, we're good. We're good. So on.
Sorry, Mike. I have to slip this in here very early in the podcast.
Okay.
Vins.
Oh, okay. See.
It's Vins. Yes. Vins.
No. No, no, and no. Nose. Vins has been banned. I banned it when I got here. It is not something that we do here anymore. I don't know how you know of that, because you weren't around for Yosh and Bauer and Co., but okay. Maybe someday on some podcast I'll talk about the ban of VINs and why I don't like it. That's for long down the road. So I figured today would be best served talking about the draft and probably, well, being the main piece when you had the number one overall pick and the main piece isn't the number one pick. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but, you know, realistically, it's the thing that we gave up. We got back two first, of course, but in theory gave up two first to go get, and really our number one goal coming into this was get Bauer, finish a lineup, boom, done. Also, we need pitching, and the person to finish up the pitching is Ryan Nock. He will hopefully be the fourth starter sooner rather than later. We got OD, we got McIntyre, we got Neggs as well, so exactly perfect mission accomplished as far as we're concerned from a team perspective. Twitchy and I very happy with how this draft went. We not only got current assets, but some future assets and well, in the form of some cap and a first round pick. And right away, before we get into Nas and who he is and kind of the background and what we saw in scouting and why we liked this guy and maybe why he liked us, because I saw you were very excited. I just want to say at the beginning, at the top of the show, Stroh, you do understand that he is your teammate, right?
Me and Noss, we go way back. I met him at the airport when he got drafted here. I was his driver, and we had a great time. I drove him here. We had a lovely chat. We drank some beer. I crashed the car. It was awful. That's how I lost my voice. I created the car, and I do you know what I did? I put it on the business expenses for the Toros. That's why we had to get that cap. I didn't want to tell anyone, but I said to Mike, "Look, we need some money for the next couple of years because I've had to write some off." But I know he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
So there will be no jumping or hitting with bags of quarters or anything.
No, I told him when we got him, me and Nas, we rushed Johnny Quest. We got him. We caught him in the locker room and we just beat the shit out of him.
Oh,
He wasn't
God.
expecting it. It was a 2v1. He wasn't expecting it.
Oh, boy. Nas, do you have any response to these allegations?
I mean, I think I'm the one with the bag of quarters. I mean, I do work at a bank, so
Oh.
we got quite a bit of those.
Oh, what will I do with you? You know, Stro, I might just have to trade you. I don't. Oh.
Well, I think I'm gonna have to. I want to put in a formal complaint about the Toro's news minute.
Okay.
I want to know why you didn't mention Rainbow Trout.
Who?
Rainbow Trout, our draft pick. You did not mention Rainbow Trout.
Yeah, because he's 100 TPE freaking two post IA. Also, it's Crane. He has no interest in playing for anybody.
Well, I can't believe that you wouldn't mention him. At least give him some vindication that we care.
Okay, fine. To tell you that I actually care about Crane beyond, you know, being his friend, we took Rainbow with the, where the hell is it? With the 64th pick, we took Rainbow Trout, Dayton Mack, aka my friend Crane. There, are you happy, Stro?
Oh, it's brilliant. I love equality. I love That's why I love Tony Sims, one of the best guys. Just great to see some equality.
So anyway, on with the show, before things get too out of hand here, I just wanted to just establish some boundaries with Thrill, which he, as always, has broken completely. So, Ryan Nock, let's focus on you for a little bit. So, you had a really good first year with Swifties. I was very impressed. Well, first of all, I hired you almost right away, as soon as you got in the league, to be a sports writer for me for the recruitment team. And just in general, I was really impressed with the work you did there. So you already had a league job, which is always a bonus, you know, is when you're looking at picks. And also, and I mentioned this to you before, you know, Anik and I are very close. You're a general manager in State College, and you came very, very highly recommended from him, which helps because, you know, when you get endorsed by your minors GM, but especially when it's at when it's who endorsed you, and he is as and him being as close to me, you know, that really helped your case too. So I had a heavy endorsement from State College. I saw it on my own, like with my own eyes. I liked our scouting conversation a lot. So, you know, already you had a very good set on you, and you had the written media, so there was very clearly, I thought, a lot of passion here. You know, that hook is already in. I thought this is a great guy for the fifth overall pick. Where did you, so I know, because I can compare your resume over like almost 20, excuse me, only almost 20 seasons now of resumes, and what guys look like coming into the draft and what they wound up being. Where did you feel like you were going to go as the new guy in a stat class?
So I will say, I mean, out of all the teams that scouted me, I would say for about a week, I knew where I was going. I had a feeling I was going to be here in Cancun. I had myself at kind of where T-Stoles, my teammate, Stungun, had me in his first mock, which was 13th. I was like, okay, you know, that's fair. You know, some people ahead of me have, you know, started earlier because, you know, like you mentioned on the draft, you know, first week waiver pickup.
Yeah, so, a lot like me. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I was a little bit behind on TP, so I felt like maybe that was more important. And so when you know, I was like at number five and then I hear this intro, I'm like, wait, no. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. So I was probably as shocked as a lot of other people were, if there were any. It seemed like some people were not shocked. But I was thrown off guard. I had myself going end first. I had myself kind of where OD had where we picked up OD, kind of in that area. That's kind of where I thought I was at.
So, yeah. So basically, what kind of happened with the draft, so I had it, and you're in the war room, so you can go see him if you want. I had, I think I had plans through H of what would happen in the draft. And I was kind of hoping that we didn't have to trade up. I thought, I didn't really think that I could get my hands on Double Dub. So, like, we had four pitchers, right? I didn't think I could get my hands on pitcher one. And again, I said this on the draft, and I'll say this again. You and Dub were very, very close. So I'm like, okay, I have two blue chips. I want one of them. I just, however I'm going to get them, I'm going to get one of them. Okay, if Dub can survive, and the wider resume on Dub is better than yours because he has three league jobs right now, so he's going to go higher, right? What I was hoping going into the draft, I was hoping to get you at, well, number one, I was hoping that we were going to have a better finish for the regular season, or, well, a worse finish for Nashville and Vancouver so that those picks were a couple spots higher, but I was kind of hoping I could get you at 14. It was a bat-heavy draft, and if Dub fell into the low single digits, or God forbid even the high teens, I know most teams would go with him first, then I could secure you at 14, no problem. We took Bauer first, and then when Dub went off the board at 2, I freaked out because, so when you're looking at a draft, okay, there are four A-tier pitchers. Just like however you sort them within that tier, there are four high-tier pitchers, starting pitchers. So clarify that even further. There are four high-tier first-round quality starting pitchers in this draft. Double Dub, yourself, not Space, Orbiting Death, and Johnny Patey. OD is a low first, depending on where it is and some stuff in scouting that he did and whatever. But really, I think he's a top 10 pick, just about, on his other Sim League's resume. But that ties in, you know, I think OD's top 10 pick. Patey was a low first, high second, but I thought pretty securely he's a low first. And then you and Dub were, I think, top five picks by the end of the career. Like, going to be worth a top five selection. But I kind of thought that the bats would start dominating the draft, and then I could get you nice and low in a nice, comfortable spot. And then I didn't know what I was going to do with 15. Well, then, when Dub went off the board at 2, I thought, okay, this is going to be a problem. I knew what picks 3 and 4 were already, but what I didn't want to happen is a panic to start and a pitching run to happen, because you see this in the NFL. One tackle goes, then the next one goes. There's runs on positions, and the same things happen here. What I didn't want to happen was a run on pitchers to start, and you wind up going at 7, OD goes at 9, and then I'm out of luck, and I have 2 first-round picks and no pitchers. So I said, okay, Dub has already gone at 2. Nas is going to be best player available probably by the time we get to pick 6 or 7. As crazy as it sounds, even with Dogwood and everybody, and Cletus and everybody else who was there, an arm, one, two, the user is going to be BPA at like 6 or 7. I've got to find a way to get up. I tried trading with 3 and 4, didn't work. There was an initial trade offer that got offered actually to me for 5 and said no, and then eventually we worked on it and we eventually got a deal done. So I took you in the top 5. I did not plan on taking you in the top 5 at the start of the draft. I thought you were top 5 quality talent, like, well, top 5 quality in most drafts, 7, 8, 9 in this draft because this draft is so absurd. But like it I understand why you graded yourself a low first, because that's where I graded myself of my time too, but like in most drafts, you would have been like your pick would have been up near Stoles. Like you're a top 3 pick in a lot of drafts. Like your resume, personality, interaction, the endorsement you get from the minors GM. That's perfectly good enough for a top 3 pick. I'm glad we could pick you up and get you in the top 5 because I feel like you deserve that recognition because you joined late and you did so well. It's like with Nipperstick, who we drafted 4th overall in 36, is, I was pushing hard in the war room for Nipper. Some other guys thought about some more conservative options, some recreates, and I said no. I like the young guys. We draft the young guy. We draft this wunderkind of mine who's doing my testing. Oh, and that was another thing. I can't forget to mention that. That was another thing, Nas, that I had heard about you that made you an attractive draft position is the scouting. The scouting that I know you had done at State College and or were going to do, I guess, if I match up the timelines right, and also the testing. So all of that complete package in mind, I have seen before. I saw it with myself. I saw it with Nipperstick. Like, there's a complete piece of that package. Like, some guys are very strong in different areas. Like, Stroh is very strong in the area of personality, right? Like,
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. I would agree with that.
and Stroh, I mean, and I'm not. Believe me, I'm not ragging, but like, at no point do I expect Stroh to test for us. He's here, like, part of his thing here is to learn the game, right? And it's a fun experience for him, and he's got that personality, and he's got this uncanny thing to make up wild stories and make it sound like he actually did it yesterday. Like, so, that's one of the reasons we went after Stroh. We heard about his personality. We got such a glowing endorsement from Chicago, and we brought him in. With you, there was this total package that we saw, and we got the glowing endorsement from Anik. So I was like, okay, this is our guy. So if situation X doesn't have, if plan A and plan B don't happens, we have to trade up. We're forced into it, and that's what wound up happening. We got forced into going up because there was no falling. So, but I think it's interesting, and the next question, just what was your rookie draft experience like? Because when I got drafted the first time, I was so excited. I could barely contain myself. I was so excited. I had angst and excitement with every pick. I was just so happy. I was over the moon with the draft. What was your experience like in scouting the draft, all of it? What did you think?
I think for me, I think that was the most exciting part. It's going to be the part, kind of the part of this process that I'm going to miss the most. Since, we are talking like a year and a half, 2 calendar years, through a whole create. So, I mean, I wanted to take it all in and, just, whoever I talked to, which, there's not been a single person I've talked to where, I've not enjoyed the conversation, getting to know them. Outside of just, it being a scouting conversation. And same thing, like on the other end of that, with the minors draft, which we just finished up, being able to talk to some of the new creates themselves and kind of being on the other end of that conversation, just getting to know new people. It's just been, the whole process has just been very exciting all around. But yeah, the lead up to the draft is just, it's going to be one thing that I'm going to miss for quite a bit.
Well, and that's the thing too. I never, by the time I got to my second time around, 'cause you're right, it's a year and a half, 2 years. Like in PvE terms, it's like 10, 11, 12 seasons, depending on how long you go. Could be even 13, 14. So you can get 2 full years out of a career and 2 real life years out of career, and it's like, at a certain point, you make friends, you make enemies, like me. When I got drafted the second time, it wasn't as exciting because I only had 2 places to go. Or, well, not two, I had 3, 4, maybe 5 places to go, whatever it was. I had a list, and I wrote it up as media so that the people I didn't want to play for didn't bug. So you never have that. Or at least I never did. I never got back to that day one experience of, being scouted, meeting a bunch of new people for the first time, wanting to go very highly in a draft, going very highly in the draft. And I went to other sim leagues. I don't necessarily to chase that. That sounds a bit bad, but I went in other sim leagues and had that experience and met new people, went places where I just didn't know people. And in SHL, I went minors only the first time, and then the second time I said, okay, I want to have a full career in SHL. I'm an updater over there, and I got drafted by Texas low in the first round, and I was quite happy. Had a couple of teammates with me on my minors team go there too. So, and then through there, I saw that McGrady was a nice locker room presence, and we drafted him here to Cancun. Unfortunately, we couldn't keep him because of finances. The salary cap runs the league in a lot of ways. So, and I saw McGrady did some media, and I think he and I are going to work on one Monday. So I'm of course still willing to help him as a younger guy in the league earn money. However. Even despite the fact that he's not a Toro anymore, he's still a guy I drafted. He's still a guy I hang out with my SHL LR. He's still a guy that I want to help. So, it's really interesting that first draft experience, and then you compare it to the second draft, which in a lot of ways isn't as cool as the first, at least for many of us, because many of us get into management, and then we get kind of old and crotchety. We got our enemies, we got our friends, and sometimes we want to play with our friends, sometimes we don't want to play for our enemies. Yeah, it just, you get into a complicated situation for the second one. So I'm glad that you enjoyed the first one, because other than winning a title, which I'll get to you in a second, probably doing that, getting drafted is probably the best sim league experience there is the first time. It's one of the top flight experiences. Now, the other thing, because you are lucky, Nos, you got drafted and you won that championship with your minors team in your first year. Talk about how that felt winning that title with State College.
I mean, overall, it's amazing. So I w actually had to work during
Yeah, that
that.
sucks.
So I was actually off to the side, kind of in the corner. Kind of, I looked on the Discord because thankfully Anik and Unk were very active, so I could kind of see what was going on. and I'm over here, and it was like three games to zero. I'm like, oh my gosh, like wait a minute, I don't want to sound cliche, but it almost felt very Cinderella like because, you know, we were a four seed. You know, when we ran simulations against the Hepcats, I think we only won about 40% of the time, in, you know, 40% of the series in that simulations, and we couldn't get it, you know, up maybe 0.2%. Like that was super unexpected. Along with the Kingpins, where we didn't even win the season series with the Kingpins. I think we were like 4-8 during the season. So to just go upset straight through and just win it the way we did is just, I mean, that's going to be, I'm going to remember that for a very long time.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, and you guys got this benefit, and I talked to Anik and I'm confident about this. I said Tuesday night that you guys were going to win the series because the way that 23 works, it wants a team with two upsets to go to the World Series. You guys were the four, you beat the five, then you faced the one, then you faced the two. So Tuesday night, I could tell you that you were going to win the World Series because you had two upsets. You beat us, you used one. You know, you won the World Series, you used the second one. So it's great to have that game's blessing on a side because, well, look at Kansas City. They don't have it. We haven't won a playoff series in like seven seasons or whatever. We've had some great teams, but it just didn't fall our way. And I was really happy for you guys because, and I hope, and I said this in your locker room after you beat us. Or well, not a locker room, in the general chatter in Swifties. And this is true. I hope you guys who are new can find a way to understand what Anik and Unconfident did. Because that team, like that locker room, like I assume that between Stolz, Anik, Unconfident, and yourself, that LR is quite active. Am I correct, Nas?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you got the same four people down, and you know we're doing this after the minors draft, so you know we got a couple more voices to probably add onto that as well. So I'm excited for this year.
Yeah. So that locker room was absolutely stone cold dead when Beaver was way too busy at the end of his tenure, and Beaver ran that team for many, many a season, and he was just too busy. Anik and Unconfident took a complete dead team and turned it into a World Series winner. OOTP smiles or not, because every team that wins gets OOTP to smile on them. You know, it's just the truth. Anik and Unconfident, I was really impressed with what they did with the locker room, and then they won the World Series without icing on the cake. That was two seasons. That was incredibly quick to go from a dead team to a World Series winner and get that locker room back. So make sure you always appreciate that, because you will see as you go through sim leagues that there are teams that doesn't happen with. Like, look at, well, in the minors, you know, majors is totally different. Like, no majors team could ever pull that off in four seasons, no matter how great a GM you were, because it can't be done. Because of the cap and the way everything works is like, you know, look at Stroh. Stroh got drafted with me in 35, and he was on a 19-win team last year. But now we finally start the ascent. We'll finally get good, and, you know, it's good for you and your career, Nas, that you show up here. You'll come up at 41. You'll come up to either a playoff team or a damn near playoff team. You get to see some of the darkness, but you get to come up and join us in light, whereas my buddy Stroh over here has dealt with the losing in some unprofessional ways. You know, like, we won't be crashing those company cars when we're winning games, right?
Well, I didn't realize something. Like, you didn't tell me something about offering Naz base here. Ryan Knott. Now, you didn't let me know that he was part of State College.
Yeah.
I hate State College. I hate State College. Because I'm as a Chicago Kingpin alumni, I was so excited for us to win the Miners World Series. Finally, I'd be vindicated for throwing the playoffs twice in a row. And you got these guys here, this Ryan Knock, he's come along and he just won it straight away. It's awful. And now you're telling me he's going to come up. I've had to do all the heavy lifting and all the losing, and he's going to come up when we're all winning and join us with the winning. I think we have to trade him now or we will regret it.
See, I disagree with that. As the general manager, Nas, do you have any response before I get in the mine?
I mean, you know, I didn't think I'd be traded. I don't think I have a no trade clause in my contract, so I think
exactly.
I have some faith in Mike.
Yes, that faith is well placed. Now, look, you know, here's the thing, Stro. It's good to have winners in your locker room. We can see he's a good luck charm. He's a winner. You shouldn't be trying to trade away winners. You should be trying to keep them and keep their luck for yourself. He can bring us championships with his luck factor. Because everybody needs luck factor, right? And we got a bunch of bad. We got no rabbit foots. We got no four leaf clovers. We got nothing right now. Hell, we got one of the most cursed people in sim leagues in LBJ, who hasn't won a title despite two careers, and he's never won a major award once. Despite being one of the nicest guys, max earning every time, he is just cursed. But now, we have not only a new fresh user, we have a beacon of hope. We have somebody who has luck, who has faith, who has been smiled upon by the sim gods. And by the way, had a damn good year most of the year down to the minors, just outside of the postseason even, as a rookie. And pays attention to his build and tests, which makes my heart weep with joy, because I'm not really much of a tester myself. You should be thankful for that, Stro. Jesus. Moving on a little bit. So, we had a great draft. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the work that Twitchy and I did, and I want to say thank you to Nipper, Johnny, Stro, Zodiac, I believe that's... Brick didn't scout. Our scouts this year. That was fantastic work. I did read all the draft notes. And I especially appreciate the war room. So this includes Brick 2 and Steel for taking part in our voting. And by voting, I mean voting on draft picks. You know, we were trying to get the consensus of the war room. And like I said on draft night, you know, Knock, like there was a vote for your pick. And we decided as a collective, as a team, that we wanted Nospace. So, you know, it's not just me and Twitchy running the show here. Everybody gets their piece. Everybody gets their say. And if there's a disagreement, then, you know, we talk things out and we say why. So, you know, like, if somebody wanted OD, it'd be instead of you, a 5. Okay, why? And then I would say, well, I think we can get him lower, or we don't need him, or he's not right for us, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Now, we wound up getting him lower, and he was right for us. Not saying he isn't, of course. I love OD. He's such a nice guy, and he's a great earner. But, you know, we have those discussions, and it's one thing I was very, honestly, probably more happy than the draft itself, in a sense, that we have that activity in our war room. We have that decision-making body. And then after the draft, we added Sarah, who's there for testing and builds and general sheet-housery and fun. We added Bauer. We added yourself. We added OD. We had 4 more decision-makers to the front office. And not even me. Ultimately, it's Twitchy who has the final say as the head GM. But I'm very happy that we added in some important people, some more important people, and I think it was actually Johnny Quest who said, you know, at this point, isn't this just the locker room being the war room? Because there's not really a lot of actives that aren't in our war room, and I'm proud of that in a sense, because it means that you have guys who are movers and shakers and decision makers in the league, and or, you know, future so, or willing to scout for you, willing to work for the team. It's great to have. I think it's great to have big war rooms. Some people are small. Like, some people are small war rooms, you know, no more than 5-6 guys. I'm not. To me, it's more the merrier. Like, Stroh, Nas, Sarah, who we probably won't even sign a contract for, whatever. I don't really care. If you have something to contribute, something of value to contribute, come on in, please join. Like NASA, look forward to seeing your scouting skills on display next season when we scout for the draft again. And do be sending me reports from those state college youths in our scouting channel so that we can keep an eye on everybody. And I'm sure that that proud Kingpin alumni Stroh will help us out too in that respect. So it's and we have the Bears GM, we have the Dallas GM. Twitchy and I are still incredibly close to Kansas City. We have eyes everywhere. So that helps us make drafting and scouting easier because we already know these people because we have people within us, within our ranks already who know them. Like next season, I will probably have you, Nas, go scout the state college guys because you're still there. You're still on the team. You will know them very well, and when you scout them for the Toros, they will look at you and go, "Oh, hey, it's a familiar, friendly face. Oh, this guy's on Cancun. Oh, yeah, they're cool." It's the same thing. It's that there's a psychology to it there, whatever you want to say. There's a rhyme and a reason to it. And that's another added bonus. You're a link to state college for us is with all the other things that you are. Now we have a formidable link to state college who's going to be around for seasons to come. And I know you're in the war room, you're testing. How so what do you enjoy testing, or you just been doing it out of drive to have your player be good?
So I'm a very analytical like personality in general. So I do crazy things. Like for example, before I found PBE, I found like a little quick sim through OOTP because I'm relatively new to OOTP in general. So this is kind of nice to learn the game more about the game, learn how the game works and what have you. And so I did like I found like an eight division pro reg league, which I actually that experience I turned into an article that I did on the forums. So I've always done kind of crazy things, and so this is like a different like way of looking at it and seeing how little things work. Like for example, like since I'm a pitcher, I want to keep it on the ground. So obviously that debate about movement or ground ball percentage, like what is going to be better, not just for me, but other people that I see along the road, whether it be teammates or if I'm a GM of my own in the future. It's always you always want to have notes in that notebook because you never know when you're going to need it.
Well, that's another question I wanted to ask you is, if you're going to general test, that bodes itself very well to you yourself being a minors GM. As I say, is deeper front office general managing something that you are interested in at some point in your PBE life cycle? Obviously, doesn't have to be right away and everybody's got their spots filled, so not right away, but is that something that you are interested in? Because that would be a that's a an awesome experience, especially the minors.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think for me, and this is just how I am in general too. I always tell people like you're never gonna be my worst critic because I'm my own worst critic, and so I always set high expectations for myself. I set myself to a very high standard, so it's definitely a yes, but it's not gonna be one of those things where it's like, oh, this is a great situation. I'm gonna just go head first. It's gonna be one of those things where it's like when I feel like I'm at that level, when I feel like I can do it at the level that I want to do it at, then we start looking into okay, what's out there, what may be coming up, and so on and so forth. So it's definitely not gonna be something I'm gonna rush myself into.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Don't rush yourself, and not everybody has to be not everybody has to be a GM, but there is a shortage, and it's nice to have guys who have that ambition, and nice to have them within your own team. And I said this to Stroh, I said this to Zodiac. When there's jobs open, if you want to go for them, go for them. Doesn't matter. Just give us a hand if it's Major's job. Just, and this is not for right now, because you're a little too new at the moment, but this is for the future. If you see a Major job open and you want to look at it, go for it and make sure that you tell us that you did so that we have the proof of you asking, because that's one of the requirements. Asking Major's GM permission, and you know, because I want the Toros to win, obviously, right? Like, that's my goal as their GM. But also, I still have that minors, you know, background in me, that 7 seasons of minors GMing. So I like guys to succeed. So I am perfectly happy to, even if it makes us worse, I am perfectly happy to see one of my guys go off and GM another team, because that's a guy I drafted GM in another team. It's a team to trade with. It's a team that we will work close with. It would be kind of a cool thing to have a network that was built off Twitchy and I. More than the Hepcats that we already have. So that's a really neat thing. So yeah, and you know, in a couple seasons, if you want to start looking at it, I'll be more than happy to train you up and kind of show you the brass tacks and how some of this stuff works. And Stro, obviously this goes for you. If you ever get past that baseball, you know, adventure perspective and you start to think a little bit deeper into things, if that's where you want to go, you can get this too. But no, I'm all for teaching people. It's Miss Obvious, who's my GM the first time, he taught me stuff, like, in the war room, like, me and all bets on James, who both wound up being Majors, because he kind of taught us how to GM Majors-wise, you know, however he could, and he was a very open notes, open book person, very willing to show the other people in his team, and it's something I learned from that, is to be that way. And then also my own philosophies, being a minors GM, training people is basically the job. So you kind of get a feel for that and an aptitude for that and a want to do that kind of thing. So I do it at the big level too. And speaking of the big level, let's move on from all this fun talk. Let's get into the season, and we'll start in the Toros. We're a lot better than we were last year. We still ain't great, but the thing that I'm hoping that we can pull on this year is last season, we had, I think it wound up being like 7 war between the actives and like negative 14 war between the inactives. Well, this season, we bring in Rockstar, who is inactive for just this year, as he probably moves to the Great Beyond next year. We'll talk about that, obviously, later with him. But as far as I know, it's indicated to me that he might hang it up after the year. So he's here for a retirement tour down in Cancun. Nice place to retire, by the way. And then Zodiac is coming up. Nipperstick is coming up. So we'll have Stro and Quest who get over 1,000 TPE. I will go over 1,000 TPE. Zodiac and Stick will be at about 800 when they get here. Zodiac's 800. Nipper's a little over 8 when they get here. You know, Tony Sims up the middle is near 1,000 at this point. You know, I'm in center, as I said, at 1,000. We think we can get Ortega to 900 by time opening day comes. And then we sign some inactives and we'll have a real good defense this year. But I think we're finally better. Last year, we got worse than the year before, which neither Twitchy nor I had planned for. And it was pretty disappointing to us. But we were very happy with, in particular, and a guy that I didn't mention there before, because Greenwald was our big, big shining piece last year, because he had 3-something war, which a lot of people would really like to have, and he was 1,100 TPE on a terrible team. Now he's near 1,400 TPE on a team that's a bit better, so I hope we can take him even farther and start taking everybody up. And finally, Stro, for the first time in your career, your Majors team won't have a shitty defense.
Yeah, no, that'd be I'm actually speechless at the prospects. I'm salivating at the mouth. But I mean, I did put up a 3-war season with these absolute monkeys. So, you know, I reckon I could put up a 10-war season with some actual defenders.
Yeah, so Sims will have the real important defensive positions. Sims will be a little bit better, but the big change is shortstop will be a lot better than it was last year, and center field will be better. The outfield, just in general, will be better. We will be a much better defensive team this year. I think we can get to a 35-win plateau. I think we're better than Seattle. I think we're more efficient in spending TBE than Indy. I think we could finish, maybe third, fourth to last in the league. Now that sounds like a low finish, but when you consider how long we've been bottom, it's the start of us going up. And then next year and the year after, we get even better. So we're very close to the exciting times in Cancun. So I'm assuming, Stroh, you are very ready to win after many seasons of not.
Oh, I'm so ready. Yeah, I mean, yeah, 100%. I mean, who isn't ready? I'm always ready. But I just wanted to ask. I noticed you said Seattle there. Did you say Seattle? That
Yeah,
we're gonna
we're
be
better than
better.
them.
Are
Yeah.
they really going down the drain or
Oh
something?
yeah, they nuked it. They blew it the hell up.
Oh.
Yeah, they traded Tiktaalik, the Chicago GM. They traded Tik during the draft. They traded 209 Tacos right after. Athena Aria left in free agency. Yeah, that Seattle thing's in ruins. They just got new two GMs and they blew it up. Or
Oh.
and fair credit to them, their window was almost over and some people decided they wanted to move on, so they went ba-boom. And I really can't blame them for it. It's a lot of times what happens when you take an expansion team over as the next set of GMs. Especially because Jimba and Mosher were both from outside the organization, so they kind of bring in their own culture and they want to bring in their own people, so blow-ups just happen. But yeah, Seattle is, you can see in the compendium, Seattle is in tatters. So I think we're better than they are this year. I'm pretty sure that they wind up bottom of the league. Not in the relegation places, Mr. Britton, because we don't have them, of course. But I'm pretty sure they're our punching bag in the PBE for the year instead of us, which will be nice. So, you've had the luxury of having a pretty decent career so far, despite the team that you've been on. So it must be exciting now to see, because again, like I said, and I've said this many times, my first player, it was a very similar situation to this. We were an expansion team, we were bad, we were getting good, we saw the plan, we had the players, we just had to wait. We just had to wait, and the wait was one of the more agonizing parts because you're going to be great. It's just got to, the TPE's just got to get there. The months just have to pass. And now that we are finally through our darkest days and only excitement is left up ahead, I hope that you, Stroh, feel that. I mean, you won't probably know it, not right now, but I do hope in a couple of seasons that you feel like the journey was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the most important thing is actually having a catcher who's a catcher. I mean, that is
Yeah,
like, that's like gift, isn't it?
that's the
Plus
other
this,
thing. You'll actually have
minus
a catcher
five
this
more.
year.
Oh my God, who even was this guy? Where did we find him?
Twitchy did an experiment that didn't work.
What was the was that what was the perhaps positive outcome of having a catcher who can catch?
So Twitchy thought that the catcher experience didn't really matter, so he signed David Ortiz to third because we needed like cheapness. Okay, catching experience doesn't really matter, I don't think. So let's sign this guy, and I'll just remake his arc, and we'll change him to a catcher, and he'll have catcher ability. Like he'll have
Yeah.
the necessary requirements to play the position in the stats. He'll just only have like 40 position XP, and it went bad. And he couldn't hit because he was so low TPE, and it went worse. So it went worse than he ever imagined. So yeah. So that's another reason why I say I think we can win 35 games. You look at what we're replacing. Our shortstop is gonna go from like a guy who was at like negative three, who's replacement level because his offense is poor, but his defense is great, so he should be even. Greenwall, probably about the same, hopefully better at third. Sims will get better as time is, well, and also number one, Sims had a down year compared to his first, so I hope that he can get better. this coming season, just have a bit of a bounce back. First base, we have a better player than we did last year. That should be a positive. Left field, you know, I think Ortega can be at least replacement level, but should be better. I am actually moving to right field because of the center fielder that we signed has super high range because it's a magician arc. So I definitely should be able to do really well in right field. We have a center who should hopefully be neutral. We have you and Johnny who've been great, and then we can add Nipper to it. So, and Zodiac from -5 to neutral, maybe even one war. So we can probably gain like 10, 11 war. And if you translate that to wins directly, I think we're probably an 11 or 12 better win team in terms of war. A little, you know, a little bit of help from, you know, couple runs here, couple runs there, and you're a 35 win team. So that's really where I'm hoping we can be. I'm hoping that this is the year that we close that gap from us in the doldrums, the bottom feeders. I think we can get to those guys, mix in with them, and win a few more games than some of them this season, much like Naspace just got done going through, or it just, you know, saw the good part of in State College, where they were the bottom feeder. You know, they had a year where they got from the worst team to not the worst team. Then they got into the playoffs, took their chance, and won that title. So it's going to take longer, but that's what I'm hoping that we do going forward for you, Stro, and for everybody else who's been a part of this rebuild with us. As always, thanks for sticking around and believing in the plan. And I say that a lot because, you know, it's easy to leave. It won't be very soon, but, you know, it's easy to leave or demand trades. You know, I did it as a player more than once. But, you know, it's great that you feel good enough about us, what we're doing as a collective team, that you'll stick around after a 19-win season, because there's probably not a lot of people that would stick around after a 19-win season. So one of my final questions as we approach minute 53 on the Toros Pad Coast, why is it, Stro, for those that might be wondering, why is it that you stick around after a 19-win season?
Well, if you look at my stats, I had a really good year. Like, I know that, like on the pitch, right, I can't complain about what I've done. So, I mean, I have to thank the management staff, you know, and the umpires who I paid off. You know, those two, when you
find
those things. Oh, sorry, no, I meant, yeah, not the umpires, you know, the stats guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not the umpires, I couldn't say that. But, yeah, they love me, those umpires, too, down in Cancun. You know, they're all, I don't know, they're all a bit corrupt, aren't they? You know what they're like, just slip a couple of dollars in their pocket. And the conversion rate's really good. So you're giving them a couple Mexican dollars, they're doing great. Everyone's having a great time. But, you know, it's like you said, it's this whole plan, you know, it's, I like as well, for me, being in the war room. You know, I don't think as a new player and having limited like knowledge, I don't know how many other teams would actually put me in the position straight away where you guys have. So that's like a big incentive to stick around. You know what I'm saying? Because it actually makes just the whole experience just a lot more enjoyable, and I feel a lot more involved in it. Whereas if I was just in the locker room and I was just like playing and not really doing too much, you kind of lose interest. So I think that's a really, really smart thing you did.
Yeah, and the reason that I did that, and Twitchy is a smaller war room guy just generally, but I am big war room, and one of the reasons that I am big war room, because one of my things is if you're active, you want to be involved in the team, you like it, you would like to see the behind the scenes, come see it. Like, you know, this is the cool stuff here, you know. this is where you hear the goings on in the league drama, and you get to, somebody bitches about something, and then you ask, what's the background behind that? And then you find out some cool war stories, quote unquote war stories, of course, but you find out some cool old stories that you didn't know before, that were long before your time. They're really cool stories, and we've got a nice mix of old and new, guys like, I think Bauer created in season 13. It's now season 39, so he's been around for a few years in real life. I've been around for a couple years. Twitchy about the same. LBG has been around forever. Same thing with Steeled. They've been around as long as Bauer, if not a little bit longer. So, that's really cool to have the old guys and the young guys, and to bring the young guys into the war room, and even the young guys that you're kind of like, 'cause yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't test for us. There's a lot of teams who wouldn't put you in the war room, especially since, like, your declarative when you were a rookie was, well, I'm kind of having fun and just kind of figuring out the game, and it's really cool that there's this experience that I get to have. This thing's really awesome. And to me, I say, okay, so let's give you the full experience. And, here's this really fun locker room guy. Let's bring him into the war room and make him a contributor and add to his experience and make sure he feels like he belongs. So I'm glad that we have done that for you. And I'm glad we and that you enjoy that experience. And, it's again another reason why Nos was going to be in the war room day one, even if he didn't do the test thing. Because, I wanted him to scout. I wanted him to feel a part of the organization from day one and going forward. So, the kind of way that Stroh feels, Nos, I do hope down the line that you will feel that way too, that as much faith as you put in us by earning, listening to our guidance, whatever, we give you some back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of different things. First of all, like you were just talking about with scouting and kind of the behind the scenes look of it. I view being the war room GMing and what have you kind of in the same light as like being just a player. Like as a player, this is like the whole PB experience, like RTTS to a whole nother level. Whereas like the GM and scouting, that's like franchise mode to a whole nother level. Like, because you're dealing with actual real people. And so that's why, like, I kind of dove head first into really all different types of experiences. And thankfully, Mike, you're lucky because I'm a loyal person in real life too. So I don't think you have to worry about me for a while. So you can sleep easy on that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll sleep a lot easier knowing that that's not a problem I have to deal with. Unlike Matt Stroh's driving skills, teammate interaction, and bribing of officials. There you go. Is there any other misdeeds that you want to admit to while we're here?
Well, I just want to prophesize this potential future. I mean, Ryan, he's got to be careful when he first enters his bed
Oh,
when he comes to
no, don't.
Cancun. Because there might be a surprise waiting for him. I don't know what that surprise is going to be, but there might be a surprise.
It's gonna be like 2 seasons, dude. You're gonna forget.
No, I won't. I
Okay. think one
I think.
thing, oh, one thing that Matt's kind of, or really nobody in this room knows about is the job that I had before working at a bank. I used to be a manager of a mattress store, so
Oh, no,
I'm
he's got me. Oh.
pretty covered in that section too. So I don't know what else you got for me, Matt.
Oh, I'm gonna have to think of something different now. Oh, that plan's ruined.
So you can detect the differences in the beds if one smelled poor because Matt decided to put a fish, or some other object. Okay, so you have now, unfortunately, you said this with 2 seasons lead time instead of no lead time. So he will have time, this devilish man himself, to think of something. But congratulations, you have actually, number one, not gotten him to beat you up. Number two, you've actually made friends with him. And number three, you thwarted his first plot against you. So congratulations, Ryan Nuck. You
That's
win the
plot.
Matt Stroh avoidance game.
was in the first plot. I
Was
mean,
it?
what, you thought I crashed that car unintentionally? I was trying to kill
No,
him.
you literally said that we had a good time, we shared some brewskis, and the car got crashed.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I tried to get him drunk enough that he, like, just I got drunk, he got drunk, I just crashed the car and he died. You know,
Oh,
I knew what
God.
was going on, but I thought afterwards, we might as well have a good time. Oh,
Oh,
he
God.
didn't
All
die.
right. You didn't thwart the first plot. Oh, Jesus.
No, yeah, well, he did for the first flight. He's still alive. He's here doing this silly podcast.
Hey. This podcast is the way that you earn money. Don't you be calling it silly.
That is true, yeah. I can't recall it, cannot.
Speaking of money, does the PB have health insurance from that? Because I still got a doctor's bill for that.
Yeah, so about that, you guys are actually independent contractors, like WWE, so yeah.
We don't have a wellness policy, do we?
I mean, yeah, there's a wellness policy, but it doesn't exactly include insurance, so you're gonna have to pay that out of your miner's salary, I'm sorry.
Well, dang. I mean, at least I got an article coming up, so I suppose the bank will be all right.
Yeah, just don't get overdrawn. No, that'd actually be a really interesting thing to do, Nos. Like outside of shenanigans, like in actual PBE, that'd be really interesting if there was injuries in it and you had to like use money to like pay for rehab and shit. Like that would be really funny. Like, oh, you could be back next game, but it'll cost you 3 mil. Like that'd be really funny. It'd add
Oh
another
my.
annoying layer to him. That'd be really interesting. You actually just made me
Oh.
think of that.
You just gave me something else to test for now, is what you just did.
Okay.
Because that. Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one.
How would inactives work? What would be the process there? How would you, like, let's say, David Ortiz got injured? What would happen?
Well, I'm not really sure that with David Ortiz III from last year, I'm not really sure that there'd be a difference, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true. I thought it'd be
I'm not
better if he got injured.
entirely sure that there'd be a difference, but like, no, I think they'd just be out for a certain amount of time, and then you'd just
Yeah.
call a minors player up. Now, there are many reasons why this doesn't work, the cap being the main one, but it would still be a fun thing to write a fantasy article about.
I mean, yeah, you could make up things like, an injury exception rule, and like, oh gosh, the amount of changes that would happen just by turning injuries on, that would be like a whole series of articles.
See, there you go. I just gave you your big money, your next big money plan, Nos. You're welcome.
I mean, I got the tinfoil hat sort of on, so I mean, we I always have, two, three articles in the pipeline, so that's just one of many that you may see.
Is the tinfoil hat's not on fire, is it?
No, because
Okay.
I kind of need hair, so
Okay.
we don't want that.
Okay,
Oh, do you know? You need hair. Is that what you're telling me? You need hair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that
Thank you. Thank
is.
you for letting me know. I will help
Uh-oh.
you out with that.
Uh-oh.
I know a lot of good barbers in Cancun when you
Oh,
come up.
no. Don't go to any
So
of his
I'll.
barbers.
I'll also make sure not to eat the worm either when I get down there.
Yeah, don't do that. All right. Well, we're past an hour, so that's going to be it for this edition of the Toro's Pad Coast. Thank you to my guest, Matt Stroh.
Thank you, Matt Stroh.
And Nos Base.
Vins, 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 Vins,
Vins,
Vins.
Vins.
God damn it. I am Leatherneck Mike doing this from the top floor of my house instead of the bottom, which is why this was a bit calmer episode of the podcast. We will be back. Well, I'm not going to say next week because that never winds up happening. We'll be back in probably a couple of weeks with the next edition where we will once again see what kind of shenanigans Stroh gets up to and how we're doing during the season. Everybody, have a great day, evening, or night. Goodbye.